So, have you ever wanted to grow your network? No, I mean like really grow your network. Well, listen, I've got Deanna Russo coming on here in just a minute. She went from just a few hundred connections to 20,000 in less than 3 years. And she's going to tell us how she did it. And she's also got some other great stuff to say. So, hang tight, guys. Saddle up. It's time for 8 Second Rule. This is 8 Second Rule. Podcast about attention-based marketing, where we talk about getting, holding on to, and developing the attention of your ideal audience. You've got 8 seconds. What are you going to do with it? Hey, I am Mark R. Morris Jr., the host of 8 Second Rule and the bull rider of semantic branding. That means branding with words, with copy, with content. And the 8 second thing comes from being a cowboy. I'm not one, but I've watched a bunch of them. And when they climb on top of a bull, their only focus is on the 8 second buzzer that goes off, letting them know they will indeed be on the scoreboard. So you also only get 8 seconds when somebody stops to look at your content online. That's just how it is, guys. 8 seconds before they flip over to the next website, the next video, the next podcast episode, whatever it is, you got about 8 seconds to catch their attention. And today I'm going to talk to Deanna Russo, and she is going to share with us some tips on exactly how you can get the most out of that. All right. So I hope you'll stick around and join me for the conversation. Hey, 8 Second Rule family. This is Mark R. Morris Jr., and I am here with Deanna Russo, who is a LinkedIn coach. And ordinarily, we don't spend a lot of time talking to LinkedIn coaches, but this lady has an amazing story about how quickly she built her network. So I know she knows a lot about attention-based marketing. So I wanted to talk with her. Her company is called Leverage Up, and she provides some LinkedIn services. If you want to check her out, please do so. She seems like she's got some really good energy going on. But mostly, I want to hear from her about what purple squirrels are. Now, I looked this up already, but I'm going to throw her for a loop right out of the gate because it was a fun little term. And at first, when I saw your hashtag, Deanna, I was like, well, that's got no following. So what are you doing? And then I just went and Googled purple squirrel because I've, you know, learned as a writer that you learn all kinds of things, people. If you put the stuff you don't understand into Google, lots of stuff you don't want to know because it's all out there.
Yeah,
purple squirrel turns out to be interesting. So what does that mean?
A purple squirrel is a niche position. It is a metaphor used in the recruiting world for one of those roles that are just hard to come by. It also could be referred to as a unicorn, something that's really unique. And when I was working in IT staffing, we referred to those purple squirrels as those C-sharp engineer, a Java web developer. So you can be a website developer, but if you're a Java web developer, then you're a purple squirrel. So then it's more of a niche type.
Gotcha. So yeah, so the unicorn was the first thing I thought when I saw the Wikipedia definition of purple squirrel. So, and your hashtag is purple squirrel magnet that you're using, right? You use that sometimes? Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So you want to work specifically with those people to help them get their LinkedIn up and running, or?
I find that that I can really help people if they have a niche role and they really want to customize and set themselves apart from the competition. But that being said, the hashtag actually started when I was in that staffing role. I was a sales manager for a small IT company here in the Columbus, Ohio area. And I did a video on what is a purple squirrel. And then I started earning a nickname. So the hashtag took off from there.
Yeah.
And even though I'm not working in staffing and recruiting anymore, I'm still using it. So
I saw on your website that someone had called you the purple squirrel lady. So
yep.
That was pretty entertaining too. All right, cool. Well, I want to just launch into letting you tell us what you think is most important, but mostly what I want to hear is as much of, and I know some of this may be proprietary And you want to, you know, hold on to it for your coaching clients. But as much as you're willing to share about how you built your network and how fast it happened, because guys, listen to what she's about to say. It's going to blow your mind when you hear it, because some of you have been struggling to get past 500 connections. Well, I think maybe something she says today might help you. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so when I started this in this staffing and recruiting role, it was the summer of 2018. And I remember going in for the interview and they said, we like you to use LinkedIn as the primary way to bring in new business and to build your sales. So I said, well, I can do that. That's not a problem. I was already in a sales position prior to that, but this is a little different. So I had had a LinkedIn profile for 10 years leading up to that. From about, it was about the time that Facebook really took off. So 2018. But I was using that profile more like a landing page and a online resume. So I really wasn't getting the most out of it. But in the summer of 2018, when they wanted me to bring in my new business using LinkedIn, I said, okay, I need to change my mindset and I need to start spending more time on LinkedIn to actually see how it works. And so that was a good portion of my time. As I was bringing in new business, I was engaging with more people. I started posting content within about 4 or 5 months of me starting that position. And I would be producing these videos. And back in 2018, there weren't a lot of people on LinkedIn doing videos. So I recognized that I could be using the 2% to kind of grow my engagement and my following. But that being said, I wasn't paying any attention to how many people were connecting with me or how many people were following me, because I was in that sales role and I was just concentrating and bringing in new business. So that was like nose to the grindstone. That was it. Well, I remember the moment about a year and a half after July. So approximately it was around winter 2019. When I remember sitting on my sofa and looking up and saying, wait, so I had 400 connections and now I'm up to 11,000 in 18 months, 400 to 11,000 in 18 months. And my husband and I just laughed about it because they're like, no, it's like, who does that? Who grows their network from 400 to 11,000 in a year and a half? And I wasn't even paying attention to I have to connect, I have to build. But what I was doing was I was engaging with people on the platform. I was liking, I was commenting, I was meeting some really amazing people, and I was posting this content, and the content was very specific from what I learned on LinkedIn during the months ahead of that. It was very specific to the type of people I wanted to engage with. So it was value offering. And I have since found out in the months, probably about 3 or 4 months ago, I found out that 6 out of every 10 people, it was a statistic that is stuck in my head, 6 out of every 10 people are on LinkedIn to learn. And so that kind of made sense because I was doing all of these recruiting type videos and HR related videos. And I went very quickly from come buy from me to here's the knowledge I can share to help you. And I remember doing a interview series of videos specifically targeting interview questions and what to say, what not to say. And it was a series of 12 interviews, interview videos. And I think that it was things like that that really helped grow this connection base. Sure. And yesterday I surpassed 20,000.
I saw that post. That's awesome. Congratulations. That's good.
Thank you.
It took about 2 years then to get the next 10. So have you been more intentional about who you're connecting with? Do you just feel like the platform itself has slowed down? Because that's not quite the same growth, but it's close.
Right. Well, yeah. So if we figure July 2018 to February 1st, 2021, I went from 400 to 20,000. So yeah, you're right. It is very close. I know that the platform has changed. The algorithm has changed. I'm not doing videos as much anymore. In fact, it's been months since I've done videos, but I'm staying consistent with the content. And whereas I'm not going toward job seekers as much because my business now is centered on people who want to grow their network on LinkedIn and want to grow their business on LinkedIn and want to do LinkedIn the right way. That's the types of things that I center my content around.
So a couple things that I observe in your story, because I started out in social media marketing in 2010, about the same time you came to LinkedIn was when I started, and it was the Wild West back then. You could get 10,000 connections by just turning around and right. sticking out your hand. I actually built my list up to about 12,000 in, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. It was crazy. And I had the help of a guy, Bo Parrish. He goes by EF Parrish now. He's an author and a CEO of a corporate chaplaincy. He was a buddy of mine, and he was one of the top connected people on LinkedIn at the time. And he said, first of all, be an open networker. He said, connect to whoever will connect to you. You can always discard the ones that end up being trouble, or if you find they're predatory or whatever, you know, you can always block them later. And that really set my mindset, you know, to do that. So I think that there are times, number one, there are seasons when these platforms kind of elevate up. The summer of 2018 was when I came back seriously, because I'd been writing fiction for a couple of years. And when I came back and started publishing articles here, just exploded. It was crazy because the algorithm had just recently changed. They had decided to downgrade the role of influencers on the site, because originally influencers were the only ones allowed to post, you know, LinkedIn articles and different things like that. They were trying to build an authority site, which made sense. I get it, but it was kind of elitist, and it was not working for the rest of the people. And if you're going to have a site where you're going to charge somebody $30 to get the basic pro membership, which you need, guys, if you're out here, listen to me. If you want to build business on LinkedIn, if you will spend the money for 1 month and work your butt off for that 1 month, you'll get enough business to pay for that LinkedIn professional. You will. It's only $30 for that bottom rung. Take it, because it gives you messaging. It allows you to see everyone who sees your profile. You have so many more connection opportunities. It's crazy. So those are some things that I see. And I think you probably hit a gold mine right there in 2018 when you started. And like you said, with video just launching, you really hit it a good time to get that in. So the only problem that I have with video on this platform is it has no staying power, because it's just in the newsfeed. So it's not like, guys, if you're going to do a video, please duplicate it onto YouTube, onto IGTV, onto somewhere where that video is going to stick around for more than 5 minutes, because in the newsfeed on LinkedIn, it's going to be gone in a week, maybe two. As I've been using shieldapp.ai to track all of my stats, because I started posting 10 times a day back just before Christmas to see what would happen. And I'm getting so much data off of this. It's insane. But one of the things that I've noticed is it takes about 2 to 3 weeks for even a really big post that's getting like 75, 80,000 views to start dying down. But after that, basically, it's a ghost town. If somebody finds it, it's like a miracle. And what LinkedIn says about the algorithm is that post really only is like readily available for maybe 6 months. Articles, on the other hand, they will stay up for a long time. They're usually accessible for up to 18 months, and then you can find them searching anytime because they'll still be there. But that's some kind of things that I see. What else would you say to people who are just getting started? Who's that person who's in the audience right now with 400 connections? Three things that you think, here's what you should start doing right now today.
First thing is first, make sure that you invest some time and effort into that profile. Mm-hmm. Because once you engage, once you post content, once you become more active, more and more people will then come to look at your profile. So you don't necessarily just want to invest the time and energy into your profile and then be done with it. You have to make it a regular part of your routine, even if it's 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, even if it's I'm going to like or comment on 5 posts a day. That's something, and you're taking the baby steps. But make sure before you do all of that, when I work with my clients, we always work on the profile first, because what's the point of doing everything else if you don't have a good profile?
Yeah.
So that's a really big part. And when you're working on your profile, it's all about setting yourself apart from everybody else who does what you do. What is your differentiator? What is your, if you're looking at, I always go to this picture of these black and white guys all in a row. What makes you the purple one? What makes you the green one? What makes you the one that is going to stand out among everybody else who does what you do? And that's where I have found that more and more people are now differentiating themselves in their headline. They're not saying just sales representative. They're not saying just writer, but they're using more adjectives and ways to showcase themselves. And that's, you have to do it, because with 760 million people on this profile, you got to set yourself apart from everybody else.
Yep. I agree. I don't do much in the way of copywriting anymore. My ghostwriting pays too well, so I do a lot of books. But the one task that I do get asked to do quite a bit, and actually I'm doing a couple this week, is rewrite profiles for people. Because so many, if you get into their about section, it reads like a sad obituary. And you wonder if 3 people would even show up to that funeral, because it's written in third person and it's a rehash of the resume. And all of that experience stuff is right below there, guys. You do not want to begin and end the conversation in your about section. It needs to be an introduction to a conversation. And you also need to ask them for something. You know, if you want them to get on a call with you, that's awesome. If what you're doing is supporting a cause, then get them to go look at that. You know, whatever it is that you are trying to get out of your profile, you need to think about that. Who are you talking to? Why are you the person to be saying it? And what action do you want them to take? And my personal recommendation is keep it under 250 words, or you get the TLDR thing, which is too long, didn't read, and people skim over it. Now, if you're going to do that, though, do make it scannable. So use some emoticons in there, break it up, bullet lists, you know, find yourself an HTML editor. Mine sucks as far as that part is concerned. My copy's good, but I don't spend any time on the design part of it. And so we always, and I read actually one of your posts where you said you weren't taking the advice you were giving to your clients until recently. So I know you understand what I'm saying, but yeah, that's a thing, guys. And if you need help, find somebody like Deanna or me and let us help you. I give free advice on profile abouts all the time. I do critiques on them almost every day. And when people rewrite them, then they write back to me and they're like, people started connecting. They've started saying that they like my about section. It's like, yeah, because it's unique. It's different. Yep. Everybody else's reads like a tomb. Yep. So it doesn't take much to differentiate. Sometimes it's just that little tweak.
Right. Right. And I think that the headline, the about section, your profile picture, and that banner are all really important. When you start to scroll down, then if the people start to scroll down on your profile, then they read about your experience. And I always say they save the best for the last on the LinkedIn profile, because those recommendations, those are really testimonials. Those are your Google reviews. Those are the things that really speak to who you are and why you should do business with that person. And I saw a profile yesterday where there was no recommendation from someone in 10 years. That's a long time. That's a long time. I go out of my way to try to get a new recommendation every month. And it's not the easiest thing to do, but when you have clients that are happy with your work, then that's my go-to, is write me a recommendation. Yeah. But honestly, I think that if you take each piece of the puzzle and you devote time and effort to it, to make sure that you customize how it looks and you're not looking like the template that is LinkedIn, then you're going to notice a difference. Slowly but surely, you'll see more people paying attention to you.
Absolutely. And listen, guys out there, LinkedIn has a metric for how complete your profile is. and you should use it. There is zero reason that you should not be 100% complete and have superstar status. There's just not any. Because everything that they are asking you to do is not based on quality. It's not based on how well you can write. It's not based on how deep your resume is. It's based on putting something in every single category on that page if you're capable of doing it. And there's tricks like write a LinkedIn article and put that as one of your publications. You know, there's a million things you can do to make that more complete, because the more complete it is, guys, the more likely LinkedIn is to serve it up in search results. They state that specifically. They want you to play the game by the rules. So you can pretend that the algorithm and all the things LinkedIn says are just stupid and it's all vanity metrics, whatever, but that's how the system works. And if you want to play the game, you might as well learn the rules.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. If you're on the platform and if you want it to work for yourself, then you gotta kind of go along with what the rules are, for sure.
Okay. So we're getting close to time here. We've got probably 5-6 more minutes. Tell me, what warnings would you have? Like, are there things that you've tried on LinkedIn or you've watched people do and you just cringe and you're like, oh, don't do that? Are there things you tell your clients not to do?
Yeah. The biggest pet peeve is to not cold call message someone through the inbox right after you connect with them. There are so many better ways to get to know someone and to build that relationship than use that in mail or a direct message as a selling tool. Sales Navigator, there are some really great ways to use Sales Navigator, but unfortunately, a lot of people use it as a crutch and say, I'm just gonna put all these people in my Sales Navigator and I'm gonna send them the exact same message at the exact same time. And no one is looking at that person's profile. I'll give you an example, Mark. So this happened around Christmas. I connected with someone who helps people with LinkedIn, because honestly, I don't look at anyone who does similar things to what I do as competition. I feel like we're all on the same happy boat. So we're all family. So I connected with her. Well, within a very short period of time, hours, I don't even think it was 12 hours. She sent me a cold call message. So I said, okay. As I started to laugh, I'm like, okay. And I sent her a message back. I said, did you look at my profile and see what I do before you sent this? And then I see the notification. I went back to my profile notifications of who viewed it. And she did look at my profile. And I'm like, why did you look at my profile but still send me this message? So she wrote back and said she was sorry. Okay. But Mark, it happened again. A month later, the exact same person sent me another message. Yeah. And I'm like,
So there's one thing that you may not know about this, and I've discovered this over time. Yeah. When they go to find the connect button, the only way you can send a connection request is to look at the profile. So by default, they've visited your profile, whether they even opened their eyes when they did it or not. So sometimes you think somebody's scanned you and they have not. All they've done is gone and looked for that button or clicked over into more if you have it set to follower. Then that's all they're doing. So they're not even paying attention to your headline or anything. What I do, because it aggravates the snot out of me and I'm meaner than you are, I critique them. I critique the heck out of them. If they say they're a LinkedIn coach and they've got 200 connections and the most they've ever gotten is 3 comments, I tell them to go find a real job. I tell them to stop taking money from people for teaching them how to use LinkedIn and go find a real job, because that is a scam. And I report their profile. I do. I absolutely do. Because I do not like the fact that there are people out here in this world who are struggling to make ends meet as it is, and they will send that person $1,000 so they can teach them how to use Sales Navigator and send cold call messages to everybody.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's so aggravating. Yep. There was a guy, I called him out on a post recently, because he took $5,000 from a guy that I'm working with now. And all he taught him was that basically the cold call method. And on his profile, Deanna, because he's cold messaging and not using a phone to pick it up and have a vote, he says he doesn't do cold calls. And I was so pissed off when I read that. I was like, that's a lie. That is a cold, blatant lie. And you are evil. Yep. So I called him out. I was like, this guy, don't just stay away from him. He's not worth it. He didn't respond. You know, I tagged him and he didn't respond. because he's getting plenty of people to give him the $5,000. Right. I just wish there was a way to shut him down. But the thing is, I have to say, LinkedIn kind of promotes that type of predatory behavior in the way that they've designed their tools.
I really think that the tools are should be designed better. Honestly, I feel like they're not designed for the professional network that LinkedIn is.
All right. So if you had one piece of advice, and this could be business advice, parenting advice, spiritual advice, I don't care what it is, the most valuable piece of advice you've ever gotten in your life that you think every single human being on planet Earth should hear, what would it be?
Wow, a lot of pressure.
No, not at all. It's your mantra. It's the thing that you live by.
There is a scene in a movie called Knocked Up. It is about 13 years old or so, maybe older than that. And there is a scene in that movie where the sister says, positive, positive, positive. And it's my go-to. Whenever I feel like someone is bringing down anything, I always say positive, positive, positive. that's my deal.
That works. Guys, because sometimes just shifting the needle to 51% positive is all you need to make it through. Yes. There's nothing wrong with recognizing that life is hard and that shit happens to all of us, as they say. And so there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that darkness exists. But remember this, guys, every single shadow is caused by a light. So if you turn around, you will see it. Well, Deanna Russo, thank you so much for your time. We can chat for a minute here, but I'm going to stop the recording. And 8 Second Rule family, thanks for listening. And I hope that you got something out of this. If you liked what Deanna had to say, please get on Anchor, send me a voice message, you know, giving her kudos for that. Or if you have questions for her or anything, and you can find her at Deanna Russo. It's just D-E-A-N-N-A Russo, R-U-S-S-O on LinkedIn. And I'm sure that she would love to connect with you, answer your questions and help you out. All right, guys. Thanks. Thank you. So I've decided to ask my guests when I have one, if they have a favorite tool that they'd like to share that they use that doesn't cost them anything to get. So I asked Deanna Russo this question. And first she said Zoom, and she said, I cannot remember, but another tool that I've already shared with you guys, and they're both great tools. But then she came up with Clips from Apple. It's their video software that you can use on your iPhone. And it kind of pains me to share this one because I am a dyed-in-the-wool Android user. But if you've got an Apple phone, this looks like a really cool app. And it is found at apple.com/clips/. And it looks like it'll do quite a bit of stuff. So you might want to check it out because she says it makes neat videos and you can share those from your phone. And that's a great tool to have, guys, because editing video takes a lot of time and energy if you don't have a tool that makes it simple. So thank you to Deanna for sharing that with me. And now it's yours as well, if you didn't already know that it existed. But I want to just remind you before I go that you've got 8 seconds to catch somebody's attention online, and you need to be thinking about how you're going to do that before you step up to the plate. All right. So have a great day, and see you next time on 8 Second Rule.